Greetings to the couch potatoes across the universe, around the world, and on the internet. I am the mighty Kevin Carr.
And I'm Jeremy Kirk. I have no idea what Kevin's doing, but you are listening to Fat Guys at the Moons.
I was pretending to be... I was being like Thor. I was talking like Thor.
Was that your Mighty Thor voice?
Well, it was my Mighty Thor voice, but that was more my Mighty Thor language.
Okay.
I'm not even going to pretend to do a Mighty Thor voice, because I'll sound like an absolute idiot.
Was that your ancient Norwegian Viking?
That's exactly. Okay. That was my Asgardian flavor of speaking, I guess. I don't know. Because that's if you haven't seen Thor, we'll talk about Thor later. Right. But he does kind of have that. How dare you talk to the mighty Thor this way?
He's got a little inflection going, yeah.
It's like everybody has like almost a British accent. Where
they're like, just brushing up against the British accent.
They're sort of like, they're doing like vaguely European accents, you know, like Rene Russo, who like every third word has an accent on it and stuff like that. that's how they speak apparently on Asgard, in perfect English, even though they're Norwegian, but or they're aliens, really. I guess.
Yeah, it's amazing how that works. Everybody speaks English.
Yeah. But anyways, we'll talk about that later in the show. But yes, you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. Thank you, Jeremy Kirk, for joining us. Jeremy Kirk from the Golden Briefcase.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And from Film School Rejects, does the box office reporting for Film School Rejects.
That's right, I do.
With amazing accuracy in his, he'd be like, it's going to make $42.7 million. Oh, it made $30.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I'm sometimes it's a dart throw at the wall, but you know, once in a while I hit it right on the head.
You can always tell with this. I guess you could take this as a compliment. I hope you do. You can always tell which movies you feel passionately about one way or the other, because right. Those are the one you get wildly wrong in your prediction. Because if you hated it, you're like, it's going to make $12 million.
Exactly. Yeah. This movie is not even going to rank. And then it ends up making, you know, $26 million.
Yeah. Where you're like Tron 2, because you hate it. You're notorious for hating Tron 2. To be like, Tron 2 will make $12 million this weekend. It'll tap out the box office at 30. Right. And it didn't.
I try not to let personal taste get into, you know, get in the way of how well I think it's going to do. But sometimes I just can't help it.
Yeah. Anyways, how to reach us? You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com and check us out and the variety of podcasts we have there. You can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies or any of our other iTunes feeds. And you can subscribe either as the Fat Guys Network and get everything, or just go by the podcast. You can go to Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. And you can email us at fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. We also have a voicemail line. We don't have a voicemail yet this week. We're recording a little early, so we might actually get one later in the week, and we'll play it next week. But if you want to call us, you can call us at 740-205-6456. Yes, the Russian wives phone calls as well are welcome. We also, we're on Get Glue now. If you've used, I don't use Get Glue, but Merrill Barr, who does the Idiot Boxers and works on Fat Guys site, he set us up so you can go to Get Glue and check in the music and audio segment. Yeah. So when you listen, check it in and be like, these guys are awesome, the mighty Fat Guys.
Who is the guru of Fat Guys at the Movies?
I don't even know if enough people have checked in.
Oh, wow.
I mean, do you have to, is there a minimum guru? Can you like be like the guru of your bathroom?
I am not the guru of Get Glue, so I have no idea how that works.
I don't know anything about Get Glue. Nah. I haven't taken that leap. so anyways, and Jeremy is, like I said, from the Golden Briefcase and from filmschoolrejects.com. Is there any other contact information you want to throw out there?
You can always find me on the Twitters at Twitter/ Jeremy K. Kirk.
Jeremy K. Kirk. You know what's funny is because there's somebody else I follow who has Kirk in their name.
Oh, really?
So if I start typing Kirk, it's in TweetDeck. So I've learned to start typing KKK.
Yeah.
And your name will show up after two Ks. So
well.
I align you with racism in my mind.
Perfect. You know what? Honestly, that is not the first time I've heard that. The K's in my name are just way too close together.
Yeah. You'd be like, I'm in the wrong profession. Should have been a grand wizard. Does your family like, no, you should be a grand wizard by now. What are you doing reviewing movies and talking about stuff on the interwebs?
Yeah. I made Dad proud.
Oh, anyways, let's talk about the movies we got this week. There's actually a lot. There's going to be a lot of releases over the next couple weeks, and they're all because they're there's the big ones, and then there's counter programming, and then there's all the independent stuff that gets shoveled into the cinemas. The first one is Jumping the Broom, in which a rich family and a poor family try to get along while their kids prepare to marry.
Sabrina, would you marry me?
Yes!
The ceremony begins at 2 p.m. sharp with dinner and dancing to follow.
Jason is getting married this weekend.
You know by now, she should have come over here to meet me.
This is nice.
What you looking at?
It's August in the vineyard. I'm looking for Barack and Michelle.
Oh, God.
Black folks own this now.
Make our white people work.
Mom, this is Sabrina.
You've raised a wonderful man.
Well, I wish I could say the same about you and your daughter. Oh, I mean, I wish I had met her earlier.
Oh, is this the wedding one?
Yeah, yes, this is one of the there's two wedding movies coming out this week. This is the black wedding movie.
Wedding
movie is something borrowed.
Great. After we determine that I am a complete racist.
No, I just align you with racism.
Okay.
I'm not saying you are a racist. I'm just, you know, I'm making that comparison for purpose.
Well, as long as you differentiate.
Yes, exactly.
That's fine. No problem.
This one, I haven't seen yet, but it's because we're recording very early. I will be seeing before Friday, so it's not getting like a preemptive suck or anything. But this looks like, I don't know. Did you ever see? Was it our family wedding? Was that last year? And that was with the Hispanic family and the black family trying to get together. This one, it's like an upstairs downstairs thing.
Right.
You know, rich,
I vaguely
rich folks,
remember that.
Poor folks. And Jumping the Broom is a tradition in some, I think it's an African-American tradition. I could be totally wrong. I'm going off of the trailer at this point.
Oh, yeah, nothing bad could happen from that.
Yeah, it's just the assumptions. But it looks like that sort of thing. It's a great example of counter-programming to Thor, where that's going to be going for the big box office, and this one's going for the more niche audience. It's not exactly going for like the same, like, not like going for, well, it's going for the black audience, obviously, because it's a completely black cast.
Right.
So
it's kind of like I vaguely remember in 2001 when the first Lord of the Rings came out, and also the same weekend Soul Plane came out, and I remember Snoop Dogg thinking that Soul Plane was going to make so much money because all the people that couldn't get into Lord of the Rings were just going to go watch Soul Plane.
I think they had enough screens for Lord of the Rings.
I think so.
I think that ruined.
I think that kind of backfired on Snoop.
I have to say I liked Soul Plane with John Witherspoon. Oh, that's hilarious, man.
I've never seen Soul Plane.
Anyways, I can't actually review Jumping the Broom yet, but I will say that Soul Plane kind of rocked. Now let's talk about the next one is There Be Dragons, in which a man is investigating the life of his father, who is in a religious battle in Spain during the time before World War II. Now, I haven't... We don't have a trailer for this one just because I was too lazy to cut one. A trailer, that is. Mm. Not cut what most people say. Oh, I'm such a juvenile.
Wow.
It's a little bit plotting because it has this sort of narration, and it gets a little convoluted at times. But for sort of that historical retrospective... It's okay. You know, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more after the break because we got to go to one.
We are back with Fat Guys at the Movies.
The mighty Fat Guys at the Movies.
The mighty. I don't have, I'm not as good as you are.
Well,
I haven't practiced.
Not on that.
No.
I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't know what that means.
Is that sad that I might?
Yes. Apparently, your mind stampeded towards some imagery that we don't want to share.
Some Viking Norse god imagery we really don't need to talk about right now.
You know what's so funny, though, is I did... this is getting ahead of ourselves about Thor, but there was a guy... There was at our screening... I took my wife because we don't get to go to movies all that much because I'm usually, because somebody's got to watch, because I got a 3-year-old who you just heard in the background maybe.
Right.
And, you know, he can't go to movies. He goes for about an hour. And then he just is like, I took him to Hoodwink last week, and he's like an hour in, and then he looks at me, he's like, Daddy home? And I'm like, no, no, I got to watch this whole thing. He's like, please? I'm like, no, we have to sit here and finish watching Hoodwink.
Did you really need to sit through that whole thing?
No, well, I did, because it was one that I was like, I said I'd better review it, because I wrote about it on Film School Rejects, so... Mm-hmm. And I would have felt bad because like four movies opening last week. When I do the report card, I'd only had two that I'd seen. And I'm like, well, that looks like I'm slacking at that point. Because the week before, they didn't screen anything. Mm-hmm. And so there was no report card the week before because it was like Water for Elephants and some other BS that I didn't go see. Like Medea, which they never screened Medea movies. And then there was a third one that they didn't screen. But he got bored about an hour into Hoodwinked. Yeah, so that's how long a 3-year-old takes. Anyways, we were talking about There Be Dragons.
Yes.
Yeah. Or like, Ladies Be Crazy, or something like that. No, it's not. It's not at all like that. But there is a Spanish element to it. It's, like I said, it takes place in Spain. And it's a flashback thing with Doug Ray Scott is sort of researching the life of his father. And it's interesting enough for sort of like that BBC-ish kind of movie. I don't know if that makes any sense to say it that way.
I'm sure some people understand what you're getting at. I don't.
It's sort of this historical retrospective. It's not like action packed, but it's a little bit convoluted because it deals with flashbacks and it's very choppy.
It's a historical drama. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and you're trying to figure out what happens. But I mean, it's if you're into that sort of European pre-World War II. Sort of a historical expression, then it's okay. I'm going to give it kind of I'll give it a kind of rocks. Right okay. There. It's really not my kind of movie though.
Are there any dragons in it?
No, it's not. It's metaphorical. No. It's meaning.
Oh, metaphors. I know. Geez.
Gosh, all these. Oh. Yeah. It would be really awesome if all of a sudden they throw down this giant dragon in the end and go,
that would be amazing.
And they'd be like, what? This is not based on real events.
If all of a sudden you found it's a prequel to Reign of Fire, that would be amazing.
I thought D-Wars was a prequel to Reign of Fire.
I never saw D-Wars. I need to. That's like one of those movies like Birdemic that I just need to watch just because I know it can't be good.
It's so awful, but it's also awesome at the same time. Because it's like, it's so impressive. And it tries to be something, and that's and it's done by, I think it's Korean, but it has like Robert Forster in it, speaking English. So like they did this sort of weird international casting, and you just watch it, and you're just like, but there's dragons in it. And I took my middle child whenever it came out, like 2005, 2006. So my middle child was like 3 or 4,
right?
And he watched it. He sat there. I gave him popcorn. He watched it. He was way more interested in it than my youngest son was in Hoodwink 2.
Oh, well.
For whatever that's worth. Hey,
dragons will do that.
That's true. Let's move on to the other wedding movie.
The other one.
The white wedding movie, so to speak. And that's Something Borrowed, in which a woman has an unexpected fling with her best friend's fiancé and must deal with the fallout.
Darcy, this is Dad.
I know. You've only been talking about him for 9 months.
Ask Rachel out on a date.
Darcy, we're just friends.
Friend that asked me out.
That was the night I let true love slip away. Now, 6 years later.
Let's get one more drink.
You don't have to.
I want to.
Now I remember why I had such a crush on you in law school.
Oh my God.
Oh, no.
It was just a big mistake. We were both really drunk.
I wasn't that drunk.
What?
Do you have any interest in this movie?
Kind of middling. I like John Krasinski. I like Jennifer Goodwin. Mm. The guy that directed this, Luke Greenfield, I really liked The Girl Next Door, and he directed that. But the premise, I don't know. I might watch it on cable when it hits there.
I hated this movie.
Oh, well, maybe I won't watch it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You might like it. Here's the thing. The movie, as it starts to play out, every single character they introduce, I hate more than the last one. Because the whole gist is Jennifer Goodwin is like she's the quote ugly girl because she's best friends with Kate Hudson. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Wow.
And there's like even a scene where she's like, she's with the guy, whoever he is, the latest flavor of the week kind of guy, who's really good looking actor wise. He plays the fiance, and she's at a bar with him, and there's this model statuesque girl at the bar who's sort of giving him the eye, and she's like, oh, these women don't know what to do when they see a guy like you with a guy like girl like me, and I'm like, you're not ugly in any sense of the imagination, unless you put you next to a supermodel and you're just you're cute. I mean, Jennifer Goodwin is adorable.
She's she is very she really pretty. Is. Yeah. It's one of those Hollywood movies where just because she's not model skinny and gorgeous, then she's the ugly girl.
Yeah, and I mean, I think most of the time, more people would be apt to call Jennifer Goodwin cute than hot.
Right.
But let me tell you something. You could do a lot worse than Jennifer Goodwin. She is a beautiful woman. So that irritates me. But part of it is she's friends with the character's friends with the Kate Hudson character. And Kate Hudson's character is an awful person. A terrible person. Takes advantage of people. Always has to be the center of attention. And I'm like, she's like, oh, but she's my best friend. And I'm like, she's a jerk. And that says something about you. You know what I mean? If it's like, have you ever known somebody who's friends with somebody and the person is just a horrible person? Not somebody who's just kind of like or somebody you don't like. It's like a horrible person.
Right.
And you're like, that reflects badly on you because you're friends with this person. And that's my take on this. And then the guy in it, that's sort of like, it's that whole, oh, well, I was just too wimpy to actually say I loved you and I didn't want to go on a date. And then it's just, oh, it's the most wishy-washy movie. It shouldn't be called Something Borrowed. It should be called Stupid, Awful, Horrible, Pathetic, Loser People is what it should be called.
That was not even a witty comment.
No, I'm just running its face in the dirt.
You're just angry.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Have you seen movies like I'll watch a movie and I see so many of them that sometimes I tend to get antsy, especially if I like had to get up and go there. And I'll check my phone to see what time it is. And usually, if I can get to the halfway point in a movie, Fast Five, I saw Fast Five. And I checked my watch in the middle of it. It's like 2 hours and 10 minutes long. It's a long movie, actually. I checked my watch, and I was like 1 hour and 15 minutes, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm past the halfway point. I'm past halftime. That's good. This one, I like checked my watch, and it was like 40 minutes in, and I'm like, I'm not even halfway through this movie.
Yeah, and you know at that point, it's just going to be, the last half of the movie is just going to be rough.
Oh, and the thing is, I like John Krasinski, too, but he is Jim Halpert in everything he does.
Oh no! You see, and he doesn't have to be.
No, he doesn't. He could, but it's like it's that same. Well, here we go. Right. The only thing he just doesn't smile. He doesn't like do that shrug and smile to the camera. But his relationship with her is almost a picture perfect example of him and Pam went in the office when she was engaged or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I like John Krasinski. I just like to see him stretch, play a child molester or something. Yeah.
Perfect. Maybe in the Muppets movie. He's in that.
Oh, okay.
Why not?
I think it's very dark in the middle.
All of a sudden, it's Meet the Feebles.
Nice. But anyways, yeah, Something Borrowed is awful and horrible. I hate it. But it's probably going to do well. It's going to be like Maid of Honor. What is it with wedding movies against superhero movies in the first? Because they had Maid of Honor, they had Ghost of Girlfriends Past a couple of years ago.
It's all those May weddings, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I blame the British. The royal wedding this last
year. Oh, right. Oh, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, that you might remember that from the news. Anyways, we're going to move on. We're going to go out for the next break. We're going to play the Thor trailer, and then we'll talk about it in the next segment. But yeah, Big Man, Bad Mighty Thor beats out the summer movies.
Sir, we found it.
Where did he come from? Name?
He said it was Thor.
You know, for a crazy homeless person, he's pretty cut.
How'd you get inside that cloud?
Also, how could you eat an entire box of Pop-Tarts and still be this hungry?
Your ancestors called it magic, and you call it science. Well, I come from a place where they're one and the same.
But who are you, really?
You'll see soon enough.
God, I hope you're not crazy.
22 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're going to talk about Thor a little bit.
Finally, Thor.
Yes,
the mighty Thor.
What did you think, Jeremy?
I liked Thor. There were definitely elements about it that I thought worked better than a lot of the other superhero comic book movies. But I didn't love it. I wasn't just completely blown away by it. I think the biggest problem I had with it was everything in the world of Asgard. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just over that whole... these locations that are completely CG. It just doesn't blow me away like it used to.
Would you have preferred to see them like shoot it in a practical set? Or a practical look? Would you rather have gone to the mountains?
I don't know. I don't think there's any way you could do just those big establishing shots of Asgard and the kingdom and everything. I don't think you can do that without using CG. I just wonder if the movie doesn't take up too much time in that world. I think if it would have been more Earthbound, I think I would have liked it more. And I don't know, just the pacing was off. There's not a whole lot of action in the movie.
Well, I think in terms of the Asgard, I do definitely see where you're coming from. I don't think they overstayed their welcome in Asgard, but if they spent any more time there, they definitely would have.
Right.
They had to have all that. Most of it was in the beginning, and it makes sense to do that because I've always railed against origin stories in certain superhero movies like Batman and Superman and Spider-Man. We don't need those. People, those are parts so steeped in pop culture, and kids will watch cartoons or read comic books or have seen older movies or have seen the TV shows that you don't need an origin story for Superman because he's so iconic that everybody accepts him and they know, okay, he can fly. He's the Man of Steel. Mm. Bullets bounce off of him, blah, 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 X-ray vision.
Right.
Same thing with Batman. They know he's a guy flying, swooping around on batarangs, pretending to be a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Radioactive spider for spider. He's a spider. Who's a man? Yeah. But Thor and Iron Man and a lot of the even if they're big Marvel characters, even if they're big in the Marvel universe, you need to have that. And I think that was you needed all that stuff with Asgard, at least just to say who these people are.
Right, right. So. And I do agree with that. It's just. And I like the idea that, and obviously I'm not going to give any spoilers, obviously, but I do like in Thor where it's really not your typical comic book movie because he has these powers at the beginning of the movie. It's just then he loses them. But I mean, it's not like a typical comic book movie where he, gets bitten by a radioactive spider or he gets hit by an alien shockwave or whatever. I mean,
And just to let people know, Thor's hammer is not his penis.
It's not?
It's a metaphor for it.
Oh, okay.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's not like the Hebrew hammer. But anyways, I just thought I'd have to throw that in there.
Wow.
But I'll tell you the thing. Well, we're on the internet only segment, so we can say that.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you can swear if you want.
Good.
Say like queef and stuff like that.
Why not?
Why That's, not? Let's
if,
just go straight.
If God, if there was anything Thor was missing, it was a nice queef scene.
A queef scene? That would have been great. I would have been like Natalie Portman would have been like, I'm like learning about particle physics. Okay. Yeah. That wasn't from my butt, Yes, that's what we needed. That definitely would have made the movie better.
It would have made Kat Dennings' character more interesting.
I'm sure she was queefing all over the place, but she has learned the art of the silent queef. anyways.
Wow.
I do think... my opinion of Thor is about my opinion of Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, but I also thought the first and second movies were very similar. Whereas, again, I didn't love it, but it also... I never read Thor, and the stuff I've seen of Thor, I've never been wild about.
Right.
I've seen some cartoons of Thor, like I watched, like Hulk versus Thor, was a cartoon they came out with a little bit ago, or an animated, short movie. I thought it worked. You're right, the action wasn't there, but like Iron Man, there's like these three or four key action scenes.
Right.
And they're really good when they show up.
You thought so? I like, there's like one big action scene on Earth.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really good. But, I don't know, a lot of the action in Asgard, it relied too much on CG. Obviously they had to, but it just,
Giant monsters.
Yeah. They were fighting giant monsters, but even when he was, you know, flying through the air, that was just, it just looked hokey.
Yeah.
It really was.
Well, you know what? The action didn't bother me on Asgard, although I am getting tired of. When they used to make IMAX movies, when they make movies for the IMAX, there's actually a very specific, they make a point not to move too fast. And mm-hmm. I think the bigger the screen, and if you get really close to the action that's moving around, it's kind of hard to resolve what's happening.
Right.
And that happens a little bit, and it's complicated by the 3D.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my biggest complaint about the Asgard action scenes is it was dark. And when I say dark, I don't mean like the Dark Knight was dark, where it was the lighting scheme was dark, but the story was very dark. This actually is a very light and fluffy story. I mean, it's really very lighthearted. It has a lot of humor in it, and I kind of like that because not everything needs to be the Dark Knight.
Yeah,
and Thor never was a dark character.
It was nice and fluffy, and yeah, there was a lot of good comedy, especially from Ray Stevenson as one of the Warriors Three. Although really. What purpose did they serve?
Comic relief, man.
But only one of them was comic relief. There were three of them. What were the other two guys doing?
Oh, yeah. Well, that they were also there for multiculturalism.
Of course, yeah. Because you have to have an Asian.
Yeah, and also there to make Jamie Alexander look even hotter.
Right, which she really doesn't need the help.
I think she's gorgeous.
She is.
I will say this. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun movie. I think it's very mainstream. I think it's something that anybody can go see and like. And I think it's gonna be something like Iron Man where kids will see it and like it. Mm-hmm. Adults will see it and like it. I think it's going to really hit this four quadrant. Women will like it because they've got the girl characters and Chris Hemsworth is good.
Oh, God, yeah, with his shirt off.
Yeah, he looks almost as awesome as I do.
Yeah, almost.
Almost. I mean, come on. Let's have some perspective, people.
Yeah, that's true.
But I also think it's going to appeal. There are people in sort of like that indie crowd that are going to be like, as long as it has my two indie darlings, Kat Dennings and Natalie Portman in it, I'll be happy. Even though neither of them really do much.
Right. No, not at all.
But
seriously, Kat Dennings has no purpose in this movie other than just to be a little comic relief.
And queef. Yeah. But no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a decent movie.
Like I said, I liked it, but I didn't love it. One thing that I absolutely did love about this movie, Tom Hiddleston as Loki, he is amazing.
He did a good job.
And I am so glad that he is going to be the villain in the Avengers.
Yeah. Definitely. So I do like they do tie together. I think they tie together the S.H.I.E.L.D. elements way better than they did in Iron Man 2.
Yeah, they did. It didn't feel just shoehorned in. It kind of felt natural to the story.
Yeah. So I'm going to say it kind of rocks. I'm not going to give it a full-on rocks, but I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
Yeah.
It's way on the high end of kind of rocks, though. Almost rocks.
I don't have the same rating system that you have, but I'll give it a 6 out of 10.
Well, does it rock? Does it suck? Does it kind of rock? Does it kind of suck?
It kind of rocks.
Okay, so there you go.
It kind of rocks with fleeting moments of suckness.
Fleeting moments of suckness.
Yeah.
There we go. anyways, with the fleeting moments of sucking and blowing, let's talk about box office from last week. Since we do have the fat guys, the Film School Rejects box office guru. What was your actual prediction for Fast Five?
Oh God, you're gonna ask me to. I've slept since then, man. I don't.
You've slept since then?
What the hell did I say? 75, I think. I think I said 75.
Okay.
73, 75. I was off. It ended up making 86.
Yeah.
A little over 86. So you know, I predicted it would be the biggest April opening in history, and it was, but even more so than what I thought.
Yeah, well, you know, I wonder because it's this odd little thing. It technically opened in April, but it's spread over a May weekend.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think it benefited from that. I think if it had come out when the last one came out was like early April, I think April 2nd or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think if it had come out then, it wouldn't have made as much. But I think people were really getting ready for the summer movie mode.
Right, I agree. And it was really weird because everybody was thinking, oh, Thor is the first big movie of the summer. But then Fast Five came out, and actually it was.
Yeah.
So I'm really wondering if in the future this last weekend in April is going to be the new official start to the summer movie season.
I don't think so. I think this was just an odd year.
Mm-hmm.
Because next year, May 1st, is, I think, on a Monday. It might be on a Tuesday because of the leap year. So you're not going to have this happen all the time.
Right.
Part of it is just, it has nothing to do with summer season. It has everything to do with Fast and the Furious. People love those movies.
Oh,
And there you go. But it's going to be front loaded. I think it's going to do better. It's a better movie than the last three, at least.
I think it's the best of the series, personally.
Yeah, I would say that. I just don't remember the first one, although I've never been wild about the series. So I'm kind of like, it's the best of like the okay movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be front loaded. It's like Twilight. If you take Twilight, and I think I said this last week on the show, if you take the Twilight movies, and you say whatever it makes in its first 24 hours, if you double that, that's what it'll make on the first weekend.
Right.
And if you double that, that's what it makes in its whole run, approximately.
Mm-hmm.
So if it makes, like they'll do these things, if it makes like $70 million in its first, $75 million in its first 24 hours, it'll make $150 million in the first weekend, and then it'll make a $300 million top out.
Okay.
So... And Fast Five kind of does that too, because last year or 2 years ago when they did Fast and Furious, it like started with 70 some million, low 70s, ended around like what, 144?
155 it looks like.
Oh, okay.
But really, I mean, these movies do even more around the world than they do just in the U.S. because Fast and Furious made $200 million just outside of the U.S.
Yeah. Well, they're also and it benefits from the fact that. You don't really need to know what's going on.
Right, no.
These movies should be like, oh, action sequence, pretty gars, and look, there's a girl's butt. You know,
yeah.
That's basically
and how this has all of them, including The Rock, which honestly, say what you will about The Rock, I really think he was a big selling point for this topping the last one.
Well, and I'll be curious to see what the next movie does,
mm-hmm.
because they really did kind of ramp it up, but I don't know how much more they can ramp it up. Without kind of taking the budget and blowing it to $250 million.
Which, God, who knows? They might. They may turn this into like a Transformers-like series where it's just massive scale.
Yeah.
They're trying to steal the Empire State Building.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think it'll do well, but I don't think it's going to... I mean, even if it drops off 50%, which is reasonable...
It's about right.
It'll still be around 40-some million, but I can't imagine Thor not beating that.
Oh, no, no. Thor is absolutely going to be number one this weekend.
Do you think Thor's going to, like, crack that 90 million barrier?
No, I don't.
Do you think it'll be less? Do you think it'll be less than 86 million?
Yes, it will. Thor is just not that well-known of a franchise. I mean, a lot of people are going to be sold into the, you know, the Marvel aspect of it and that it's building up to this Avengers movie. But really, it's not going to do better than Iron Man did when it came out, which Iron Man opened.
Well, but Iron Man was a completely unknown quantity too.
It was, yeah, you're right. It was, but it also had the Robert Downey Jr. aspect going, and Iron Man I think was say what you will about Thor being an actual mainstream movie. The concept of Iron Man I think was a lot easier to sell, than a god coming to Earth. I really think Thor is probably going to open this weekend around 75, maybe low 70s.
Yeah, I can see it do that. See, this is what I think you're going to have happen here. Is you're going to have a mirror of what happened 2 years ago when Wolverine came out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first movie of the summer, and that made the top opening weekend until... Was that the year Transformers 2 came out? I think so.
2009, yeah.
Yeah, and that ended up blowing it away. But it was like for like most of the summer, Wolverine had the highest opening weekend, and I don't know. It may have beaten out Transformers for like that first like 3 day spread because Transformers just did steady business for like a week, or for a couple weeks. Whereas I can't remember, so don't quote me on the numbers. But the second one was Star Trek came out after it, but Star Trek. Had much better staying power.
Yeah.
And Wolverine was very front loaded and dropped off.
Wolverine was very front loaded. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I have the numbers up here if you want me to spot them. Wolverine opened with $85 million.
Yeah.
Star Trek opened with $75 million,
mm-hmm.
and then Transformers opened with $108 million.
Oh, okay. But so, I think that was over like a 3 day or 4 day.
Yeah, it was, because Transformers usually has that 4 day.
It's
weekend.
Usually 4th of July or something like that. Yeah. But no, I think you're going to see similar things with, you know, Fast. You might see $10 million less, but I think that Thor's going to have a longer staying power. But it also depends, because the next week is like Priest, and that's it, and that's not going to make any money.
No. But and really the counter programming the weekend after The Bridesmaids, I think, is going to do better than Priest. But
yeah.
But Thor's still going to be number one until the weekend after when Pirates comes out.
Yeah, I think we're gonna. Yeah, you're right. It's gonna have, it's gonna just clock on there. The mm-hmm. only thing, I have a question for you. Should we even mention Prom and Hoodwinked? They like 4 and 5 million for the weekend.
Oh God, yeah. Last weekend, you mean?
Yeah, or Dylan Dog also made less than $1 million.
Yeah, that was. Oh, that's just poor Brandon Ralph.
Oh,
that guy cannot catch a break.
But
Dylan Dog made $863 per screen.
Yeah, that's not the lowest, but it's damn close.
That is sad.
It's not Delgo numbers.
No,
but it's getting. I think Delgo was like $239 per screen.
Ooh.
For its weekend. It was so little that I had gone and taken my kids to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It was so little, I actually impacted the box office that weekend.
That's what, I love that. When you look at the box office numbers and you're like, you know what? That chunk of that number, I did that.
I'm like, $15 of that is mine.
Exactly. If I wouldn't have gone to that movie this weekend, it would have been knocked down one more spot.
I know, it's like I had that much impact on it. It went from 20 to 21, exactly. 21st place. How long do you think it's going to be before Hollywood declares that people just want to see movies about Rio de Janeiro?
We're not already there.
Because it's like the first one, like, top two movies. Rio and Fast Five, Rio de Janeiro. Ergo, people want to see movies about Rio de Janeiro. Like,
people want to see Brazil. We're probably about 2 or 3 years away from Brazilian porn just getting put into theaters, mainstream.
Well, I mean, that's where they shoot a lot of porn anyway. So
right.
It just cut out the middleman. Go right. Straight to the theaters.
Right.
So I'm very flexible when it comes to pornography.
Oh, are you? Okay.
I am. Well, I mean,
I don't need to know how flexible you are, Kevin. God.
It's really fast. Switching hands without missing a stroke. So.
You perfected it. Good job.
I'm not saying that I can do it. You can really hurt yourself if you're not properly stretched.
That's true. I'm just going to agree and move on.
Is there anything else you want to talk about? This is usually an open segment. Is there anything that's getting stuck in your craw?
Stuck in my craw.
About movies?
No, not really. I mean, there is a movie that's opening this weekend, Limited, that I think a lot of people should go see. We're going to derail again as soon as I say this next phrase, but I really dig The Beaver.
Well, doesn't everybody?
Yeah, we do.
If they're really attentive to their partner's needs, they are.
Mm-hmm. You should all dig The Beaver.
So you're saying The Beaver doesn't suck?
The Beaver does not suck. No. Jodie Foster's Beaver is quite good.
I have a feeling that I would be more intrigued by this movie if Mel Gibson was actually talking out of Jodie Foster's Beaver.
Oh my God.
But where he shove her hand in her back and he'd be like, wah, wah,
wah, wah. That's what I was just gonna ask, but where will he put his hand?
It's all right. I mean, it's a movie magic. We can figure it out somewhere.
I can see your lips moving. No. Wait, what?
Which lips? Anyways. Oh, exactly. Did I say that?
Oh, God.
So you've seen The Beaver? You like The Beaver?
Yes, I saw it at South by Southwest, actually. And
The Beaver doesn't stink?
The Beaver does not. Oh, my God.
Just can't stop.
Where does it end?
It does. Well, at the fallopian tubes.
Oh, okay. On the surface, The Beaver is really quite masterful.
Nice.
It It's a work of art.
Oh, wow. God, so anyways, how tell us about the beaver.
Yeah, well, the beaver is it's being kind of sold as a lighthearted kind of family comedy drama, but it's really more drama about Mel Gibson. He plays this father of this family who's really going through a midlife crisis. I mean, he
plays an anti-Semitic drunk.
Plays an anti-Semitic drunk who just loves the jacuzzi, and he finds this. Well, he's also the CEO of this toy company, and he finds in the dumpster this discarded beaver puppet. And oh my god,
what a waste of a good beaver!
It is. They just threw it out in the trash. Why? Wow. But he starts to communicate with his family, with everybody, kind of using this puppet as a proxy for him. But honestly, it's a really well done movie. I love how it's written. Mel Gibson is so good. I mean, say what you will about the man personally, there's just no defending him at this point. Yeah. But he's still a damn good actor, and he does a great job in this movie. And it gets really dark. Yeah. Don't expect.
So when you say family, it's about a family. It's not something you take your kids to.
No, right. I would. It is PG-13, but I would kind of advise against taking younger children in, because it gets really dark and it gets pretty scary.
Oh, okay.
By the end. But yeah, I highly recommend it. It's a really good movie.
See, this is one of those movies that when I first saw the advertisement for it, I was like, this looks like the dumbest fucking movie I have ever seen in my life.
You know, a lot of people were like that.
Yeah.
I tried to stay optimistic, and then finally seeing it, that kind of paid off because I really enjoyed it.
Well, I might have to check. Well, I'll probably end up checking it out. Is it going wide at some point? It just seems like such an odd limited release.
Is the beaver going wide at some point? I don't know.
When is the beaver going into wide expansion?
I don't know.
Is what I want to know.
The beaver's opening up just a little bit this weekend, and then it's going to expand, depending on how much money it can pull in. God. Wow.
My mind is a whirl with beaver
comments.
It's
all just... It's all just a beaver blur at this point.
Wow. Oh, my God.
All right. We can move on now.
Just shake that off. No. Anyways, but it's Summit. Summit is releasing it, and they have a put touch and go. Summit is what Lionsgate was like 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or what Artisan was, which became Lionsgate like 10 years ago, where they had like one or two big hits, and then they didn't quite know how to launch a movie.
Right.
You know? And Summit has the Twilight franchise, which is what put them on the map, just as Artisan had Blair Witch. Mm-hmm. And Lionsgate had a whole bunch of horror movies and like Fahrenheit 9/11. And that really kind of launched that company as a wide saw also was Lionsgate. That really helped.
That was huge for them.
Put it on the map. But they still don't know how to open a movie outside of the Twilight genre, even if it's something really good like Source Code, which... Did well, but not great.
It didn't do gangbusters. But I mean,
Red, same thing. Red was one.
Yeah, definitely
that did,
Red. But they did a good job with the Hurt Locker, and that even ended up getting them an Academy Award.
Well, I think so, but I think that was more they lucked out with the Hurt Locker because it just got an audience, and it didn't need a huge audience, and it just kind of did this. It's one that went through that limited release cycle, and it just happened to work for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas something like The Beaver, you look at a movie like that, and you're like, Mel Gibson, Jodie Foster, why is this not opening in 2,000 screens?
Right. Well, and also at this point, you got to kind of factor in, it is Mel Gibson. He's not going to be a big box office draw at this point.
Yeah.
Which is, it's actually kind of sad. I mean, he was huge. He was a huge star. He just really derailed.
I don't know. It's interesting to see. I've always liked Mel Gibson as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I like Charlie Sheen on 2.5 Men, and look what the hell happened to that. Jesus.
Yeah, really? God.
Anyways, anything else? Any other body parts you want to talk about?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay, cool. Let's move on to the Fat Guy 5. And this is part... Oh, you know what? and you'll know why I said this. Something else I have to say about Thor.
Oh, okay.
I was convinced through the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie that they were just all preparing to go to the royal wedding of Kate and William. Because their hats were redonkulous. Their hats looked like what Sarah Ferguson's daughters were wearing.
Yeah.
Like antlers and stuff like that. So
they were, yeah, they were going for that eccentric hat look.
Yeah, I think they timed it well with the royal wedding. But anyway, speaking of weddings, if anyone watches any of my YouTube clips of like my appearances on TV, I do TV in Columbus. Last week we didn't talk about Fast Five. We talked about because the royal wedding was literally going on when my segment was. Fortunately, they actually said I do, so they could cut away to go to my segment.
Oh, nice!
Those British people just timed it so well. But I did my five favorite wedding movies, and so we're doing a portion of that list and Jeremy's additions to the list. So that's and this is in honor of both Jumping the Broom and Something Borrowed, which are both wedding movies. Mm-hmm. So
and if you watch them at the same time, you've got an interracial marriage going on.
That's right. Yeah. They should just cut those two together.
That would be great.
Yes,
I'd watch it then.
I still wouldn't. Okay, well. first one on the list is Wedding Crashers, which is totally a guy's movie, and it's a ribald comedy, sure, and it's raunchy and has plenty of, you know, it's a poop jokes and spew jokes and all that kind of stuff, which is what you need in a wedding movie.
I think so. No. We don't get it very often, but
no, you don't. Well, maybe if you go to a wedding yourself. Of course, I don't know if you really want poop and spew. I mean, maybe just the latter.
Yeah, pick one.
Yeah. Well, I don't know
if
I want
to pick.
I'd pick one definitely over the other. I mean, it's not like a coin toss. I mean, I'm not like gonna. Like when I in my younger days, I wouldn't like crash. Wouldn't be like and be like, okay, let's go up to my hotel room. I'm gonna flip a coin. It's either gonna be ejaculate or shit. Oh, we got tails.
Oh my!
Are you into this Cleveland Steamer?
Wow.
let's move on.
Let's move on.
That's the next choice.
The next choice is The Wedding Singer, which is a nice throwback to the 1980s.
What's so funny about it is it's like what, 10 or 15 years old? About 10 or 15 years old?
Yeah. It's a 13-year-old movie that strangely enough took place 13 years before it was actually. So we could make a movie now. We could remake the wedding singer now and make it about 1998.
You can call it Making the Wedding Singer, and it's about how Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore fell in love on the set of The Wedding Singer taking place 13 years ago.
This is a genius idea, and you're just throwing it out to everybody.
Well, there's only a limited amount of time you can make it. I mean, you can't release this in 2 years because then it just the math.
Well, no, but if we start shooting this weekend, we can get this sucker out in November.
Let me give Adam a call. I don't think he's doing
perfect.
Anything.
No.
Grown-ups too? That's not happening.
No. What's Drew Barrymore doing? Really?
Well, not Coke anymore, apparently.
No,
but.
Right.
What's Chris? Tom, what's his name?
Tom Green. God, how old news is that? She's with Justin Long now.
How the hell did that happen? That's all I want to know.
Anyways. What? She's with Justin Long?
No, Justin Long, I understand. They look like they're a cute couple, but Tom Green,
right.
That's sort of like being raped by your uncle, isn't it?
I wouldn't know, Gavin.
I don't know your uncle.
I've never had sex with Tom Green, so I wouldn't know how to compare.
Well, I mean, with is sort of a flexibility with that phrase. Oh, anyways, should we do the next movie? This isn't derailing. This is deteriorating.
Yeah, we really have.
It's all my fault too. The next one is Father of the Bride, and with as much props to the original movie, I have to say this: I really love the 1991, 20-year-old movie, mm-hmm. 1991 Steve Martin version.
Yeah, not the old one. The one that's just 20 years old.
Yeah, just the sort of old one. The one that's half as old as I am.
Right.
Ooh. Isn't that terrifying?
Yeah.
But no, this was very sweet, a cute movie. Steve Martin's great in it. The sequel's actually really good, too. And it's directed by Charles Shire.
Mm-hmm.
But Nancy Myers wrote the script. And what's funny is, where's Charles Shire now? He ain't nowhere. Once he divorced from Nancy Myers, guess who's the big director now? Nancy Myers. I like Nancy Myers stuff.
You're talking foreign talk. I don't know.
Do you ever see The Holiday? The Holiday with Cameron Diaz and...
No, I didn't see that.
Or What Women Want with your buddy, Beaver Friend.
Oh, you know what? I did. Yeah, that's a good movie. Oh, and okay. She did. Yeah, I do know Nancy Myers.
She did, what's the one with Jack Nicholson and... Not As Good As It Gets. It's the Something's Gotta Give with Jack Nicholson and Diane Keaton.
Oh, right. Hated that movie.
And then she did It's Complicated most recently. I think Nancy Myers is one of the better female directors out there, actually.
Okay. Yeah, she's made some good movies. But yeah, Charles Shire, I don't know him. I mean, I'm looking at his work, and I've seen a number of his movies, but yeah, a lot of them are forgettable.
Irreconcilable Differences and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, and the Alfie remake. Good God.
Oh my Lord, that was his last one. Boy, he didn't get the talent in that divorce settlement.
Apparently. No. It took him for all he was worth.
Let's go into the next one. What's the next one?
The next one is In and Out about
not about pornography.
Not about pornography, but it is about sexuality. And it's about a high school teacher who is basically outed by one of his former students who's just won the Academy Award. Which, if I remember right, wasn't this kind of inspired by the Tom Hanks acceptance speech when he won for Philadelphia?
I don't know.
You don't remember that?
I didn't watch the Academy Awards. Oh. I just read about him. I don't have 4 hours.
I'm sorry. You're one of those people. I don't watch the
Did he
Academy
out somebody?
Awards.
I totally do not know this story.
Yeah. Apparently, when he was accepting the Academy Award for Philadelphia, he said that this goes out to some teacher of his who he said...
And his wife and kids.
Yeah. He thanked them and said that he's gay. He mentioned that he was gay, and I guess they took that and turned that into this romantic comedy with Kevin Klein and Joan Cusack, which really, I really like this movie. It's very funny. Kevin Klein is hilarious.
It is very funny. My only beef with this movie is if you believe the movie, then if you fall in any gay stereotype, you are therefore gay. If you happen to like Barbra Streisand and have a great eye for design, then you must be gay.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny. The thing that was funny is because my father-in-law, he loves Barbra Streisand. He's got a great eye for design. He loves fashion. He loves to sing show tunes. He's as straight as a board.
Uh-oh.
But it's
sounds
like
someone's fabulous.
Well, and I said to my wife, I'm like, well, if this movie's true, then your dad's really gay. Not just like a little gay, but like really gay. But he's not.
Really gay.
He's like... So that was the only thing. It'd be kind of like being like, well, we're gonna do a movie about take any stereotype you want,
right,
and say, oh well, if you eat fried chicken and watermelon, you must be a black man, but I'm white. I like fried chicken and I like watermelon. You must be black. I am, and then he discovers he's black at the end.
they need to do a remake of In and Out where someone gets outed for being black.
That would be great. That would be so offensive.
Starring Martin Lawrence. He's like, he's black? Martin
Lawrence. No, Martin Lawrence, but he would... Well, you could. Well, how would you cast? Would you cast a black guy?
No,
or would you just
no,
cast
wait.
A white guy? Would you like Pauly Shore in this movie? And he'd be like,
you,
I'm black.
It would be Pauly Shore, but then in the story, as soon as he gets outed as a black man, boom, it turns into Martin.
Turns into Martin Lawrence. Turns around the corner, is like, and then everyone nobody notices him at all. I mean,
oh my god,
would be
this
like,
movie
wait,
is hilarious.
You look just like Martin Lawrence.
Yes,
you like the other guy in Bad Boys. No, that's not me.
No, that's not. That's not. I'm not the witty one.
Okay.
I will say my biggest problem with In and Out is that even straight men, I think, would pick Tom Selleck over Joan Cusack.
Yeah.
She's more manly than Tom Selleck.
I've met Joan Cusack and she's a strange lady.
Really?
She's nice. She's a little odd.
I've never met her and I could kind of glean that.
Yeah. I mean, Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to say too much.
Well, that's okay. We'll talk when we're
She got done. A charming family, but she's a little weird.
A little weird.
It was the last one, The Princess Bride.
Yes. Marriage.
Love and marriage. Love. Yes, this is in my opinion one of the best wedding movies ever because it has everything besides weddings. It's not just about weddings and all that happy horse shit. It's about venture and pirates and
rodents of unusual sizes.
Yes, and six-fingered men
and Andre. Oh my. Okay. Any wedding movie that has Andre the Giant is a winner.
Yeah, and that's the only one because he's dead. He's been dead for a while.
Because he's dead.
Unless you bring him back from the dead and be like, Andre's wedding, my big fat dead Greek wedding, or something like that, then that would be.
We're coming up with movie ideas all over the place tonight.
I'm going to sue Hollywood when they make $50 off of what we just talked about.
When they make Andre the Giant's wedding.
My super big fat Greek wedding. Anyways, the honorable mention. You had an honorable mention you want to throw out there.
Technically it's really not a wedding movie, but The Hangover is about getting to a wedding.
That's true. Well, yeah, getting back to the wedding.
Getting back to the wedding, yeah. I mean, you could come up with a complete top five of, bachelor party movies, which that would go on there. But it's kind of a wedding movie.
Yeah, that's true. Same thing with, like Bachelor Party.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is great.
Yeah, great.
Do you think Hangover 2 is going to suck balls?
Yes. I didn't until I saw the trailer for it and realized it's the exact same movie.
It has such a you can hear the lips against the scrotum getting ready to suck balls with this movie.
Yeah, it's the sad
scraping
too.
Sound, yeah.
It's really sad too because I love the first Hangover movie.
Yeah,
and there was so much promise with those characters. Just put them in a different story, but no, they got to make the same fucking movie.
Exact same movie in Thailand.
Yeah.
Instead of a baby, it's a monkey.
Yep. Instead of a missing tooth, it's a face tattoo.
Yeah. Yeah. So
awful. I'm kind of rooting for Mike Tyson in this lawsuit to get the movie delayed.
Did he not hit? He is he the one who's suing? It's the guy who did the.
Is it the guy that did that?
It's the artist. Who did.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Mike Tyson wants it to happen. Don't you see? That was my Mike Tyson impression.
That was almost as good as your Thor impression.
Yeah, the mighty Mike Tyson. Oh my god. We gotta get out of this segment.
Yeah. We are back here with Fat Guys at the Movies. Yay. We just got done. Yay!
Just, that's my excitement.
Yay!
Taking a nap here.
Oh, all right. After that nice little brisk little conversation we had
about The Hangover,
we're back.
Yeah,
about The Hangover, we're back.
I was actually during the break. I was trying to figure out what movie is going to be is comparable in terms of suckage to what The Hangover 2 is going to be like in terms of just like mimicking the first movie like beat for beat.
Right.
So.
Hmm.
I was thinking Babe, Pig in the City, but at least. Babe, Pig in the City. They did try and do something different. It was terrible, but they tried to do something different.
You know, I never saw Babe, Pig in the City.
Not very many people did.
No.
Anyways, what do we got coming up next here?
Oh, next we have the world famous DVD Roundup. Nice.
Lucasfilm. Thank you.
That was nice.
The ones I want to point out, there's The Green Hornet, which is coming out, which actually wasn't bad.
I enjoyed The Green Hornet. Yeah, it was fun.
I liked it. It's available in 3D DVD. And I've said this. You know, this is one thing about Thor. I noticed the 3D, the conversion 3D is looking actually really good now.
Oh, you think?
I think it's looking a lot better than it was. You compare Thor to Clash of the Titans.
Oh, well, okay, yeah. Well, it's not distracting, I'll say that. But it is still completely pointless.
Well, you know what they're doing, what they did with that is they, and I noticed this with 3D televisions, is the way they do this, they code them in such a way that it goes into the screen. It doesn't come out of the screen. And what that does is it gives depth, but really, to me, it feels like it puts the picture farther away. And that's actually why I don't like 3D television. I prefer 3D in the movies where it's out there and it comes at you a little bit more, which people dismiss as gimmicky, but I think it's better than just having, oh, I can see that that's far away. So, but yeah, that's interesting. What?
You know, I've never seen anything on a 3D TV, so I'm curious.
It's I love 3D in the theaters, but I'm not a big fan of just pushing the picture back. I want the picture to pop a little bit more. There's also not in 3D. There's The Dilemma.
It should be though.
I don't know about that.
You know, Vince Vaughn's chin in 3D.
Vince Vaughn, he's got huge fingers. He's got like huge sausage fingers. If you don't know if you noticed.
I never paid attention to his fingers.
I do not want to see Vince Vaughn's fingers in 3D. There's also this movie called Waiting for Forever with Rachel Bilson. Just mentioning that one. There's also TV shows. You got Penn and Teller's BS, which we can't say the real words because we're on the radio.
Ball something.
Season 8, which is that's a really good show on Showtime. And there's also Boy Meets World Season 5.
All right. So. Interesting.
You're next.
Yeah, I've got A Somewhat Gentle Man coming out. It stars Stellan Skarsgård as a gangster who's just been released from prison, and it's a dark comedy about him acclimating back into the real world.
It's not a sequel to A Serious Man. It's like a sort of Serious Man.
but it's a sequel to you know what? I tried to make the joke about one of the other something man that came out, and I couldn't even think of one.
Single Man.
A single man,
a sort of
thank
single
you.
Somewhat man.
A serious man, a single man. Wasn't there three of them that were out right back to back to back?
There's always been a whole bunch of a something man, like the Cinderella man and that kind of thing. But it was a single man and a serious man that both came out at the same time.
Yeah, it's not a sequel to any of those actually, but it is a good movie. You should check it out. And also the first three X-Men movies are out today on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Which I would highly recommend getting X-Men and X2, but you can skip the atrocity that is X-Men.
I don't know. I mean, I understand people not liking it, but the atrocity, is it that bad?
Yes. Yes.
Mr.
Definitive. Yes.
Tron hater.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, it's worth it. I don't know what's worse.
You don't. Wow. Wow, that says a lot.
X-Men Last Stand or Tron Legacy? Wow. That's a toss-up.
Well, the stinker of the week is Smell Gross Place, season whatever. I don't care. I don't watch this show. I don't want to see it. So I guess I am sort of preempting. Preemptive. I mean, I may watch it and love it, but I really don't think I will. If it doesn't have...
Judgmental.
Yeah, if it doesn't have Elizabeth Shue's brother in it, it's apparently not that good.
He's billed as that, didn't he?
Yeah, it's just
he doesn't even have a name.
Yeah, it's just Elizabeth Shue's brother, and
right.
And even if it has Elizabeth Shue's brother in it, it's still not that good. review wrap up. We've got Thor, which we both said kind of rocks, didn't we?
It kind of rocks. Yeah.
Something Borrowed, which I didn't actually say it, but I think you could guess that I said it totally sucks.
Totally sucks.
There Be Dragons, which is it's right on the cusp. Kind of rocks, kind of sucks. Depends on what kind of movies you like.
And has no dragons.
There's no real dragons in it. And then Jumping the Broom, which we neither of us have seen, but they have screened it by the time this goes to posting. But we can't look into the future. If we did, we wouldn't be sitting here doing podcasts and radio shows. We'd be making money at the stock market.
Right.
Next week, we've got Priest in 3D, Bridesmaids, which is getting redonkulously good reviews.
It is, and everybody and their brother has seen it twice.
Yeah.
So.
I don't have a brother, so I didn't get to see it at all yet.
No, I still haven't seen it either. Yeah. And I do have a brother, so that how God works out for me.
Well, yeah, has he seen it? So.
He might have.
Everything Must Go also comes out in limited release, as does Hersher. Next week we'll be having another host, a special guest, which you'll have to wait till next week to find out who that is.
Oh,
ooh.
Special.
So, fatguysinthemovies.com, you can check us there. Jeremy, tell us where we can find you.
Yeah, you can always find me at firstshowing.net. You can also find me at filmscorerejects.com. And you can find me at Twitter.com/JeremyCaker.
Yes, and the Golden Briefcase.
And the Golden Briefcase every week.
Yes.
Usually plops Wednesday or Thursday.
Wow, plops. Wonderful.
Plop.
I guess that's it. We will talk to you guys next week.